All right. Welcome to Tuesday, March 19th, everybody. I'm John Weigel here with Rob Litterst, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Today's top story is about dirty soda, which sounds pretty unappealing, but thanks to a TikTok trend, it's gaining popularity. The act of filling soda with milk and fruit flavoring is nothing new if you're an egg cream traditionalist, but big brands like Sonic, Jack in the Box, and Dr. Pepper are finally cashing in on it. So, is this a direct result of all your friends trying to go alcohol-free lately, or is it something deeper, fizzier, and bubblier? We'll serve that up in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today across business and tech. Starting off here with Apple. Apple is considering a deal to have iPhone's upcoming AI features powered by Google's Gemini AI model, per Bloomberg. The deal with Google could be seen as Apple's acknowledgement that its own AI development is pretty behind the pack. We'll see if the Gemini phone becomes the it couple of 2024. But Rob, what do you got to say about this?
I love that Gemini phone. That has a great ring to it. I have a few thoughts on this. I think it's a great kind of rebuttal to the Microsoft OpenAI partnership.
For sure.
The other thing here is this is nothing new for Apple and Google. Google pays Apple a ton of money every year to be the default browser on the iPhone. I think recently some email surfaced that showed exactly how much they pay, and it's like in the neighborhood of like tens of billions of dollars. It's a huge amount. And so this is actually kind of cool because it could be an opportunity for Google to get some of that back from Apple and for Apple to actually leverage something else from Google and pay them for that.
Yeah, agreed. It's no secret that Apple's been lacking behind everybody a little bit in terms of AI innovation.
Totally. There's so many things that Apple was ahead of the curve on that they just like don't have resources for, like podcasts. Apple could have completely owned podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't have time for it. AI, Siri is always kind of stunk,
yeah.
And it is what it is. But I mean, when you're releasing products like they are and at the quality that they are, you know, got to make some trade-offs.
100%. Okay, moving on to Uber. Uber is set to pay $178.3 million, cha-ching, to settle a class action suit filed on behalf of over 8,000 taxi drivers in Australia who claimed Uber's aggressive moves into the market threatened their livelihood. I, for one, still love a New York City yellow cab. Rob, where do you stand on this?
So if I'm getting a cab in New York, I'm 100% just going yellow cab. Typically, if I'm in another city, I'll probably order an Uber just because it's easier and there aren't as many cabs. But the one place where I will always get a cab outside of New York City is the airport. I cannot stand the ride share kind of like weird. Dude, it gives me anxiety. Like you hit it into your iPhone. You don't know if they're actually going to know where to go. It stresses me out, dude.
Oh, yeah. The signage is always terrible there.
Exactly.
They tell you to go to like this big ass parking garage and they're like aisle J and you're like, what do you mean aisle J?
That is exactly why. And it's like, I would rather just walk out, jump into a cab. It's going to be the same price anyway. You know, Uber's algorithms have it like somewhere right around the same price. So yeah, it's a great excuse to just take a cab.
Yeah.
Rewind for a little bit.
And it seems like Uber's been coming more invasive in countries like Australia. I actually didn't even know how bad it was until this headline came out. But yeah, Uber's really been stepping it up globally. So it looks like a lot of people are revolting because I remember this exact thing happening in New York City like 8 to 10 years ago. So I guess they're finally ramping up enough elsewhere. All right, moving on. We got Minute Media is going to be Sports Illustrated's new publisher, buying publishing rights from brand ownership company Authentic Brands Group. It follows Arena Group's 5-year ownership stint, which included laying off the magazine's entire unionized staff. Rob, can you see Sports Illustrated building back better, as they say?
Honestly, man, I don't know. I kind of think Sports Illustrated exists today, but it's The Athletic. The Athletic is basically what Sports Illustrated was for this generation. And I think The Athletic is like kind of successful. Like it got bought by the New York Times, but I think it got bought at a valuation that was way under kind of what they were hoping for years before. I don't know, man. I think the issue with sports in the new media cycle and on the internet, there aren't really gatekeepers anymore. Like social media has made it so that you can literally hear right from the athletes. And a lot of people have shown that that's where they would prefer to get their sports information from. I don't know, man. It just seems like Authentic Brands has kind of let SI's brand wither, and nostalgia can only buy you so much runway.
Yeah.
I kind of think SI is in trouble at this point, unless they got bought by the right place. Like if they got bought by a company like the New York Times or something like that. I'm not sure why the New York Times would do that now, but they could really kind of prop them back up and bring some solid editorial staff to them, then that would be interesting. But I don't know. I just think this is one of those generational shifts where the time has passed a little bit.
Right. It's a big name, but do they want to reinvest in the big name and spend the money that needs to be spent? All right. Next, we're going to xAI. Elon Musk's AI company has open sourced its Grok chatbot, making it available on GitHub for developers to build on. And finally, some huge news. YouTuber Mr. Beast is launching a reality show with Amazon in which 100 people will compete for $5 million. And that's the largest prize in game show history. Basically, just one of his YouTube videos, but longer, pricier, bigger, better, I guess.
This is genius. Honestly, like this is exactly what Mr. Beast should be doing.
For real.
I don't know. This just feels like perfect alignment and the perfect come up for the biggest creator in the world.
It makes so much sense. He makes so many of these videos on YouTube as it is. And I'm just excited to see what the production's going to be when they get on Amazon budget, because these productions are already insane. They're huge. He has these big warehouses in North Carolina that he utilizes for a lot of the productions.
Yeah.
So I'm just very curious to see like what Amazon money will do for him that he can't do for himself already.
100%. I'm also super curious to see the contestants and how rowdy they get going for that 5 million. I mean, I don't know if you ever watched Real World Road Rules Challenge or any of those MTV classics, but I think those teams were teams competing for $1 million and they were trying to kill each other for that money, man. Like I am so curious, like these folks are going to be chomping at the bit, man.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't need to work again money. That's going to be really interesting.
Oh yeah. And extreme game shows have been getting a lot of popularity on streaming services. Like Netflix just did their Squid Game in real life, the real version of Squid Game. And that was a big hit. This is coming to Amazon. So all these streamers are picking up these crazy new shows, which is really cool.
That is cool.
All right, on to the main story. Our big story today is about the newly widespread industry of dirty soda, as it's belovedly referred to on TikTok. But we're going to see now why so many brands are wising up and taking interest in it all of a sudden. First of all, Rob, can you cue us in on what dirty soda is exactly?
I sure can. So this actually makes me really excited. So dirty soda is basically this beverage trend that has gone absolutely crazy on TikTok, which combines sodas with a creamy component. So that creamy component can be milk, half and half, or a non-dairy alternative like coconut cream. And typically these drinks also have a flavor enhancer in them like lime juice or syrups. It sounds gross, but honestly, like it's not far off of a root beer float.
Oh, definitely.
My mom is from the New Jersey area and she used to make chocolate egg creams for me and my brother sometimes.
Ooh, yeah.
When she wanted to give us something nice when we came back from school, and they're delicious. So this is something that I am very excited about. I think a trend that's really fun and funny, and I'm always looking for an excuse to get more dairy in my life.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm all about this dirty soda.
Yeah, same. I think it's pretty fascinating. I'm a big egg cream guy. Grew up drinking egg creams.
Love it, man.
Also love like cream soda.
Oh, yeah.
So this is coming back as a big trend. Is there a business that did this before? Who kind of popularized it initially?
I mean, like, I think there's an argument that you can make. The soda counters back in the 60s.
Yeah.
These were the drinks that people were drinking back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the drive-in fountains for all the teenagers in the 1950s. Baby getting hopped up on sugar.
Exactly.
Making some questionable decisions afterwards.
Exactly. But as they say, fashion is cyclical. So here we are again. And the company that did it this time is a company called Swig, which is a beverage shop that I think started in St. George, Utah. And this is cool. It's a fun alternative for the Mormon population out there who are looking for non-alcoholic and non-coffee drink options.
Mm-hmm.
And Swig actually has 63 locations in the US today. So they've grown quite a bit. And now it seems like more brands are kind of riding on their coattails and just following this dirty soda lead. And it's gotten pretty big. There's some big brands who have jumped into the mix here.
Who particularly?
Yeah. So Coffee Mate and Dr. Pepper collaborated on a coconut lime creamer made specifically for dirty soda. Topgolf added two dirty soda options to the menus of its 88 US locations. And honestly, this is not the least bit surprising to me because they are always ahead of the curve on the beverage game. But Sonic, everybody's favorite drive-in, mm-hmm. launched a make it dirty option at over 3,000 locations. So people can get in there and add kind of a creamy option to any of their sodas.
They could dirtify their sodas.
Exactly. Exactly. So a lot of companies in there, Jack in the Box rolled out their own Twister sodas options at over 2,000 locations this July. So I think it's pretty safe to say like this trend is definitely going big.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like what we talked about before, like this is a big thing maybe almost 100 years ago, but you have companies like Jack in the Box, Sonic getting in on it now and kind of blowing it out because of this TikTok trend. But also this company Swig, what stake do they have in this whole thing? Is it kind of like their branded thing that people are stealing, or is it kind of an open season for everybody?
Yeah. So before this like big rush of making it dirty and dirty soda branding, Swig's founder, Nicole Tanner, trademarked the term dirty soda back in 2014, which it turns out was a genius move. They even filed a trademark lawsuit against another Utah beverage company called Sodalicious that was saying it was a near exact knockoff with its dirty soda offerings. But now it seems like multiple soda chains in Utah and elsewhere are peddling dirty soda concepts. But a great move there by Nicole Tanner at Swig.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely first off watch a documentary about the Utah Soda Wars.
100%.
But second off, what kind of trends are going off from this now?
Yeah, so there have been some kind of like macro trends that I think are playing into the appeal of dirty sodas. So first of all, we mentioned why it came to be. It's part of the kind of sober curious movement, which is looking for alcohol-free drinks and just helping people that don't drink find creative beverages. Mm-hmm. Also, drinkable desserts are trending on restaurant menus all over the country right now.
Wow.
There's also, and a lot of people kind of credit this to Olivia Rodrigo, who brought Swig a huge bump to fame back in 2021 when she posted a photo of herself holding a Swig cup on Instagram.
Ooh.
I also just think novelty can take over the moment quite a bit on the internet. And a soda that has some milk in it is pretty funky looking, pretty fun to get curious about.
Definitely.
And I think it's just like introducing this concept to a new generation.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to dig it.
This is so interesting, though, that I feel like the wacky drinks movement is also just heating up, too, because, you know, last year with the whole Grimace Shake thing taking over TikTok.
Right.
Now with dirty sodas, I feel like there's just this mass push towards just wild and funky drinks nowadays.
100%.
And I'm sure alcohol companies are sweating a little bit. You know, we talked about last week, Anheuser-Busch, their sales are down quite a bit year over year. So yeah, interesting that people are moving more towards these, and it'll be fascinating to see what other brands kind of jump on this and make it their own and go alcohol free more so.
Oh, for sure. I totally expect there to be a lot more consumer brand focus on this going forward.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Definitely. Now, Rob, before we get off the air, I want to know, describe to me your perfect dirty soda.
I would say my perfect dirty soda, I think the idea of a cream soda with actual dairy in there sounds really, really good. I think I could definitely get down with that. I'm just very excited to see what Mountain Dew does here, because I think Mountain Dew is going to just like go all off on like
be huge.
The gross factor. Like they're just going to be like Mountain Dew with milk.
Oh,
like,
God.
Because you can do it, or like something like that. And it's just going to be disgusting.
My arteries are not ready.
No, dude. No, not at all. It's crazy.
All right. And that's going to do it for us today. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow.